Lily, wonderful. Thank you so much. Let me just make sure I'm not on two microphones at the same time. I am. There we go. So, friends, we're going to leave the first couple of verses up on the screen there. Let me pray as we look at this together. Father, we bless you and we thank you so much for the story of this woman. And we thank you for what she has to teach us through the ages about what it is to have a generous heart towards you and what brings you joy and delight. We pray you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I wonder what you see up here on the screen, which is something that is very remarkable, I think. We see twice that Jesus saw. Do you see that? So the first verse, Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw this poor widow. And I think this is an absolutely amazing thing, because when you consider what was going on in Jesus' life at that moment, oh my goodness. Jesus knew, he'd just arrived in Jerusalem, he knew that in a matter of days, he was going to be betrayed by one of his best friends, Judas, and he was going to be handed over to be crucified. Gosh, Jesus had a lot on his mind at that moment. And you'd think, wouldn't you, that Jesus' mind would be on other bigger things than observing this poor, you'd think, insignificant widow. And see, I think this teaches us that God, he observes. God cares about what happens in his world. He really does. Jesus notices the way that you live. Did you know that? He notices the things that you do and think and say. And your actions, the things that you do and think and say, are as noteworthy to Jesus as the actions of the most important people in the world, as the actions of King Charles or Joe Biden or Taylor Swift or whoever. Jesus cares about what you do. He notices it. That's amazing, isn't it? That boggles the mind, but he knows. Now look, this widow that we're looking at, she gives, we're told, into the collection plate. So it's a little bit like here at church where you have a collection basket. In the temple, it's the place where they worship God. And she comes forward and she brings two little coins. They're called mites. Mites were the smallest possible value of coin that you could get. Do you know what? Two mites, even if you add them up, they are less than half of 1p. Did you know that? That is not a very big amount, is it? That is a very, very small amount. Put your hand up here if you have more than 1p to your name. I think it doesn't matter what age you are, we all have more than that, don't we? And the thing about it is that the people around her, the people around this poor widow, they saw her and they laughed at her. They said, look at this woman, look at the offering that she's bringing, as if something like less than half of 1p is good enough for God. But we see here in this passage that what God values is very different, my friends, to the things that we value. God values things differently. See, God doesn't care about money. Did you know that? He couldn't care less. All the money that exists in the whole world is his anyway, because he made the gold, he made the silver, didn't he? In the Bible, we're told that the cattle of 1,000 hills is his. Everything belongs to him. He doesn't care about money. But what he does care about with this woman is the fact that her heart is given to him. We know that in our own lives in some ways, because we all know that things that seemingly have little value have lots of value to us. Now, I'm going to show you something that has a lot of value to me. It doesn't really have that much material value, but to me it's very, very valuable. Does anyone know what this is, what this might be? It's a ring, isn't it? But it's not any ring. Does anybody guess what specific kind of ring it might be? There's a clue, because I'm not wearing it. It's a Geraldine, it's a wedding ring, exactly. Now, look, me and Lizzie were pretty poor when we got married. We were still,
That's not why we're having a generosity campaign. It makes no difference to my campaign whatsoever whether people give or not. But we couldn't afford, you know, proper silver, so I got palladium, right? Which is a kind of cheap substitute. Now, the thing about palladium is, if you were to put together all the palladium here, you'd probably, maybe not because it's been used and, you know, sweated on and all sorts of things, you'd probably get less than £100 for this. That's the value of the metal. Throw in, you know, the labour costs and, you know, the shop that sold the Bruford's in Eastbourne, if anybody needs to buy a wedding ring at any point. Probably about £200 altogether. But the thing is, this wedding ring means so much more to me, it has so much more value to me than £200. You might be sat there wondering why I'm not wearing it. Well, the thing is, you get married, you start going to the gym, and you put a bit of weight on, and your fingers get fat, and you can't wear it anymore. If I put this on right now, we'd have to get somebody with a chainsaw to get it. We'd have to get Stuart Still to get one of these machines to chop it off. That's why I don't wear it. But I do keep it in my bedside table, very precious to me, because this isn't just metal. This isn't just precious metal. This is a symbol of the fact that I belong to Lucy, yeah? The fact that she loves me, the fact that she's got to put up with me for the rest of her life, which is a really, really comforting and good thing. Thank goodness for that. It means so much more to me than its constituent parts. And it's the same with God. The things that we give to God, the things that we do to God in themselves, they don't really mean anything. But the value is in the fact that through them, we give ourselves to God. It is not about what we can give. It is not about what we can do for God. But it's about the things that we do, the things that we give, being symbols and signs of us giving of ourselves to him. St. Bernard once prayed, not St. Leonard up there, St. Bernard. He once prayed, Lord, I only have two mites, my body and my soul, and I give them both to you. Wouldn't that be an amazing prayer to be able to pray? Lord, I only have two mites, my body and my soul, and I give them both to you. Friends, we're thinking about generosity over the next few weeks. And I'm really happy that the first in our series is in a family setting. So all the children gathered here, because you know what? Jesus, he expects of every one of his disciples, it doesn't matter what age we are, it doesn't matter what stage we're at, he expects us and he calls us as disciples to be generous to him with our time, with our talents, and yes, I don't know if you know this, with our money. And you might be sat here this morning thinking, but I don't have much to be generous with. Particularly if you're a child, you might be thinking that this morning. But not just children, others too. It is not about the amount, but about the generosity that it expresses to God, to the God that we love. Does the way, this is a good question for all of us, does the way that I use my money show that I belong to God? Let me ask that question again. Does the way that I use my money show that I belong to God? Because God has given me every blessing that I have. Every blessing that I have. Some of us have more. Some of us have very little. But all of us who trust in Jesus and know him, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We have more blessings than Mason could hold on to earlier on with those balloons. And so here's a question for us during this season of Lent. Am I generous towards God? Am I generous towards God? Can that be said of me? Can I say that of me?
Now look, there are many, many ways of being generous towards God, and we don't want for one moment during the next few weeks to imply that the only way to be generous towards God is by giving to the ministry of this church. That is absolutely not true. I will go out of my way to say that that's not true every week. But that is one way in which we can be generous towards God, to partner with what he's doing here to build his kingdom and to give of our time, our talent, and yes, our money towards that kingdom work being done, because it is essential. As I said earlier, there's a basket as you leave church. We don't make much of it. We deliberately don't make much of it because we don't want you to think that that's why we've got you here. No. We want to build you up as disciples of Jesus. That is our principal aim here in this church. But one aspect of discipleship, and God speaks about this so much throughout the Bible, he speaks about it way more than other stuff that we think about lots. Speaks about how we steward the resources that we have for his glory. So we have a basket there. We have a swanky new contactless payment method there that Paul Giles, our treasurer, has been working for weeks to get done. Can we give Paul a round of applause? Because he has sweat, blood getting this thing up and running. And if you know what I'm talking about, you'll know what I mean. There's some things have happened that have been out of the ordinary. Poor Paul, he has borne some crosses. Others of us give through the parish giving scheme. It's a kind of monthly amount, and that's probably the preferable way to give, because it's the easiest for you, but also the easiest for us to know what's coming in. None of us see what you give. I don't know what people in this congregation give. I have absolutely no idea. But with this widow, we see that Jesus sees, doesn't he? Jesus sees. He knows. I don't want to know, but Jesus knows. And the widow's mite teaches us that Jesus has more joy in what we give him in generosity than in the much leftovers of the rich, than the many leftovers of the rich. And so can I encourage you this morning, and I want to encourage you over these next few weeks, whatever age you are, even if you're one of the children here this morning, learn to be generous towards God in your following of Jesus. Learn to be generous towards God. It doesn't matter what age you are. Even if it's just a small 20p slice out of your pocket money, it doesn't matter what it is. It's the habit of learning to love God with the resources that he has given us. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're struggling financially. Many of us are. It's a difficult time, isn't it, in our world financially. Be generous, not outside of your means, not beyond your means, but be generous within your means, whatever they are, within your means. That is all that Jesus ever asks of any of his followers. It is never about the figure. It is never about the sum. I'm going here for my wedding ring. Do you remember the illustration? But it is about what it signifies, what it means. A heart that is given to God in worship and love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you have given to each and every one of us. You lavish them on us freely, and you long to bless us more, particularly, Lord, with a greater knowledge of you and a greater fellowship with you. And we thank you, Lord, for this grace that you give us of generosity. You don't need us, Lord. You don't need our resources to make your kingdom grow. You're the Almighty. You can do whatever you like. And you invite us, whatever age we are, whatever our circumstances, to partner with you within our means. Stir us, Lord, we pray, to greater generosity towards you. Not as a drudgery, but as a token of our love and our devotion to you. And we pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I'm going to hand back to Sarah, who's going to lead us. in a time of prayer.